I have the pleasure of telling you a little bit about a program that we, or a framework that we created at Partners in Health, somewhat to respond to the question just brought up about how to make something that's robust but at the same time participatory. So my name is Dan Palazuelos. I'm a physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital just down the block. And I also am a faculty at Harvard Medical School, and I work with a non-governmental organization, Partners in Health. Nothing to disclose. So just a word about Partners in Health. We're a group made up essentially of frontline health workers and people who are interested in providing the highest quality health care to the people who need it the most. Our mission is medical and moral. It's based on solidarity and not just charity alone. We work in many different places. We started in Haiti. We moved on then to a very large project, MDR-TB, in Russia and Peru. We then started healthcare system strengthening projects in Africa, in Rwanda, Malawi, and Lesotho. And then most recently, we've turned back on the Americas. And I myself helped co-found a chapter in Mexico. And there's community health worker strengthening projects in the Navajo Nation in Boston. I've also worked with Partners in Health in a community health worker quality improvement task force, which was representatives from all the different sites that would come together to think about how we could share best practices and improve our respective programs. So a little bit a word about what we, the kind of concept that we brought to the table when we first started having these discussions. Essentially, these were in the Community Health Worker Quality Improvement Task Force. These were frontline health workers, community health workers themselves, physicians, nurses, program officers, managers that were in the field. When you're working in very distinct, concrete settings, you have very concrete thinking. And you need tools to help you get the information that you need that's going to be actionable. I'm used to using this guy, but there's other ones too that are not just physical, that are conceptual. For example, if I have a patient with pancreatitis, I might think of the BICEP. BICEP is an acronym for the name of it, but it doesn't tell me exactly what I need to get into how to treat pancreatitis. On the other hand, I have something like the CURP-65. This, I know, I can remember it. It helps me remember the things that I need to assess severity of pneumonia, confusion, urea, respiratory rate, blood pressure, age. Acronyms are very powerful ways to boil down complex information into usable forms. And we wanted to utilize that when we started to think about our framework. In addition, one of the great things about global health is that you have the ability to liaise and learn from so many other different fields, anthropology, business literature. Recently, when I was helping to market a book that I had been involved in, I learned about the 7 P's of marketing: product positioning, pricing, placement. But I realized that a lot of different fields utilize this approach to these complicated questions because they're forays that allow us a more tangible assessment. So the Community Health Worker Task Force, at the same time, wanted to remember that so much of what we've learned about how to do community health worker programs, so much of the whole enterprise of community health workers, comes from the teachings of, amongst others, this fantastic educator, Paulo Freire, who wrote The Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And in this book, he talks in depth about the importance of listening and discussion. So here we had now a couple of very different, in some ways, conflicting necessities. We needed something that was very applicable, but at the same time participatory. We needed something that was simple, yet robust. To make it even more complicated, the task force did an assessment of what the different projects brought to the table. And here you see a graph where it's years of operation on the x-axis and a number of community health workers on the y-axis of all the different groups that participated in this. And you can see that we have very large old projects like in Haiti, younger large projects like the ones in Africa, and then a smattering of smaller projects of various ages. Even more so, when we asked them what they were doing, they were all over the place. There were some that were doing community education, some that were doing chronic disease accompaniment, active case finding. There was even some that were doing the sort of direct care provision that was described before in the Earth Institute. So we put our heads together during a summit, and we came and we wanted to have one page, one single model that we could all agree upon and then use for these conversations. And this is what we came up with. It's called SPICE. It's an acronym. It's Supervision, Partners, Incentives, Choice, and Education. It's described here or represented here as STARS, but there's actually two STARS. There's both the community and the healthcare system, because it's important to remember how these elements interact in both those fields. At the same time, each one has its own something a little bit richer about how it interacts in the field. For example, we have the purple bubbles. Those we call the anchoring points. They're how these programs, how these elements, essential elements, will interact in their unique context. And it's a more, I guess, anthropologic approach to the question. For example, in supervision, which is actually a larger question about management structures, we encourage people to think about what are the structures and dynamics of interacting in the society. For partners, which is NGO partners or government partners, community partners, and it brings up the larger questions of stewardship and ownership, we wanted people to consider how is power shared and how do people interact in terms of trust. For incentives, which is a larger question of motivation, because it's not just what you give them, but why they want to do the work, it's important to consider how do people meet basic needs, and then also what's valued. It's not just the needs, but it's also the wants. For choice, which is simply could be simply recruitment, there's also the question of what members of the community are able, willing, and ready to work, and also how history and society affect this. And it's not just choice of how you choose them, but also why they choose to do the work. That's an essential element that is often forgotten. And then education, which is training, but it's also what's the formal, existing formal literacy, and also more conceptually, the ways of learning and the ways of knowing. So this was our model, and we feel that it adds a unique value to this conversation. One, it's based on interactions between elements. The essential point here, and this is embedded into the term SPICE, it implies cooking. And cooking is elements that you put together in a pot, and then the product is how they mix. It's not the individual. We wanted it to be humorous because we wanted it to be approachable. We wanted community health workers and end users to understand this essential concept. It helps to identify strengths and weaknesses, and I'll show you how in a bit. And it's an intuitive concept, as I said, with the cooking metaphor. It's participatory, and it's adaptable. You can toggle between very specifically what you're looking at, but then it helps you take a step back with the acronym running through. You don't lose the forest for the trees. So here is an example of how we first used it. We gave all of the different Community Health Worker Task Force participants this blank format, and it's essentially a 5x5 SPICE chart. It's read like a distance chart on a map, and we asked them to fill in the individual boxes with how they consider these two elements to interact in their unique project. So in the top half, it's green, that's positive interactions. In the bottom half, that's red, those are negative interactions. And then they started sending back information, and it was really fantastic to see what they were coming up with. We started to then put them into this chart, and an example of an insight that was brought to us was, for example, in Rwanda. And this isn't written there, but in Rwanda, the question of incentives. PIH has long advocated for paying community health workers for their work. We believe that that's actually a justice question. At the same time, in Rwanda, they pay them through cooperatives that then will come together to make a business, and then the profits of that business come back to them as their individual profits. It's very powerful, and it works very well because it's in the interaction of both the incentives and the partners, how they decided it was going to work, but also in a post-genocide state where people are trying to reconstruct the social fabric and reinstitute the social contract. This was the right and very powerful way of incentivizing their community health workers. We then put this all together into positive interactions, and don't worry, you can get out your magnifying glass later. I'm not going to read them to you. And then that's the positive interactions, and then we had the negative interactions. So if we had a lot of different players and we all needed to get on the same page, here we were. We had now two pages, and we were on the same ones. Having said that, what were we going to do with it now? So luckily we found out that the Swedish Society of Medicine, in combination with the Lancet, had a call for papers. We submitted it, we wrote it up, submitted it, and it was published. It's open access, and you can download this for free on the website. There's also a Wikipedia page that was made on Five Spice, and you can download the article there. And those charts are in there, and you can read them yourself. I had the honor of going out to Sweden and seeing Richard Horton, editor of The Lancet, talk in his very charming way about global health. It was a fantastic experience. Finally got us out there. So what are continued experience with the use of SPICE throughout PIH? And I'm really giving this to you as offering this to you as a tool that you also can use for planning, for quality improvement, and for setting a research agenda. So the project in Mexico that I helped co-found is a healthcare system strengthening project in rural Chiapas. We have coffee farmers who have local government clinics that are completely debilitated, but we've revitalized those clinics with doctors, staffing, volunteers, new supplies, technology. But we realized that that wasn't the only element of the final mile. The final mile also needed the community health worker. So here we have one of our doctors in a very participatory and charming way training our community health workers and making them laugh. We used Five Spice to construct the bones of the project, and because it's so simple, the community health workers themselves could have a say into it. The doctors who didn't have global health degrees could also participate. In addition, the hypothesis is that treatment supporters will improve adherence. But we're going to actually, as we roll this out, we're going to do it as a stepped wedge unilateral crossover study so that we can get real data about the causation of how community health workers cause a change in adherence. Another example, PH Malawi. This question of how to have community health workers participate. And the Five Spice helped us with a unique insight to this program. Malawi has, for a long time, the community health worker that is sort of a polyvalent health surveillance agent. This is a cadre that provides IMCI in clinics. PIH, when they first landed on site, wanted to create a cadre that would link communities directly to these clinical systems. The way that they did this was giving these village health workers a household register. And they go house to house collecting data and then bringing it back to the clinic so that hopefully there's actionable data there that then the system can use to bring people better into the system. That's not uncommon. A lot of groups do this. But what is uncommon about this program is how excited they are about it. This is the thing that blew me away. When I went there, I saw all of the village health workers coming with their best dress, putting up the results, and talking about it. And they were riveted. It was, everyone came early, everyone left late. And there was a lot of different reasons for why, but I think that it was in the interactions of the multiple different elements that you saw this very high performance. It was their training was appropriate to their language and understanding. Their incentives were just, but at the same time, there was this larger incentive of how the program was structured and how their supervisors interacted with them. The take-home point, and cognitive science talks a lot about this in the science of motivation, when the data is being used, you have more of an incentive to actually produce it. Two, when quality is an activity instead of just a concept, then it's actionable. And then finally, when you present to your peers, then you have you put in that extra effort because you want that social, benefit, that social capital. A final example, PH Lesotho, the beautiful mountain kingdom in South Africa. The government of Lesotho has long had a a cadre of essentially like a polyvalent post-Alma Ata community health worker that was incredibly inspired to do their work, but it didn't have a lot of clarity around what was being asked of them. PIH, when we were asked to come in, the mandate was to improve mortality around, strengthen the healthcare system, and then improve mortality around TB, HIV, and maternal mortality. So we turned those cadres into distinct cadres that would provide distinct tasks. One, the maternal mortality reduction agent is a female community health worker that's out in the communities finding out who's pregnant and bringing them into care. The other one is the accompagnator, which is providing direct treatment adherence support for TB and HIV. The 7% that PIH takes care of in Lesotho is making great advances on the MDGs, whereas unfortunately the rest of Lesotho is still moving backwards on the MDGs. The government of Lesotho asked us, we're ready to learn from what was this experience. What are the techniques that you're using? So I was part of a cadre that went and I sat down with community health workers and we used 5-SPICE to understand how they understood their own program. For example, for the supervisor part of it, and we translated 5-SPICE into questions, we said, is your supervisor just your supervisor or do you also consider them your friend? For the incentives, we ask, if you could help your community more, what would you do? Then we also, for the partners, we asked, does your community appreciate your work and how do they show it? And the answers were fantastic. They were philosophical, they were robust, they were pithy, and we learned a ton. From there, we were able to then give back to Lesotho information about how to build their program and to implement the lessons learned at PIH throughout the country. And again, we wanted to make it simple so that it was usable. And 5-SPICE could then roll out, moving backwards from value, it's about tasks, it's about supervision, it's about incentives tied to expectations, and that also overlaps with supervision. It's about relevant education to teach you those tasks so you deliver them with fidelity and excellence, and then clear selection for people who can actually do those tasks. So there's overlap with other models. And the U.S., the community health worker AIM model is fantastic. We've long been aware of it. Here's 5-SPICE, and with the different elements, then overlap. For me, when I use 5-SPICE, I keep it in the back of my pocket. I don't forget that AIM exists. AIM is there, and it's very robust, and it's very inclusive. But I have it there as a sort of backdrop to how 5-SPICE helps me structure my thoughts in real time, on the fly, and then sometimes when I'm writing it up in a way so that people can understand it. So thank you very much.